You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
Church, and you're going to hear from Gabriel Mose.
Bring it over.
Hello, everybody. How are we today? Excellent. Well, to start off here, I'd like to talk about the camp a little bit and how much it's changed me, okay? The first time I came here, I wasn't too sure whether or not I would fit in. And I wasn't too sure how well I would feel, especially if I was around people that I didn't know too well. And I figured, what the heck. Might as well just come and join and see, and just experience camp. And as you know, this is my third year of coming here. Coming to this camp really means a lot to me. And after coming to this camp, I don't feel as lonely like I used to. All the friends that I've made have not only felt like friends, but they've also felt like they are my family. We're not family by blood, we're family by spirit. And I'm going to use a reference from The Lion King to help me out here, okay? I know this has been something that everyone, the one scene that a lot of people have talked about in here, but does everyone remember when Simba is found by Timon and Pumbaa, and he is, and when he stays with them, he starts singing Hakuna Matata, and he starts learning on how to eat? Does everyone remember that? See, from what I noticed, Timon and Pumbaa became more than just Simba's new friends. They became his new family. And so, now, I want you all to look next to the person beside you, and I want you to say, "You're my family." I know I said earlier that this camp means a lot to me, so every year I'm going to come back to this camp again, and I'm gonna talk to you all, see how everyone's doing, and as of that, I'm officially finished. Thank you for your time.
That was profound, buddy. 32 years of youth camp is worth that 5 minutes. Thanks for being my family, Gabe. Amen. Ah, is that how you do it? Next up this morning to minister to you, another fine young man we've known for a long time. Appreciate his spirit, appreciate his family, appreciate his church. And you heard from other part of his family earlier in the week, who did an awesome job. And what I loved about when I sent the message and said, would you be willing to share for us at camp, both of them sent back and said, absolutely, we would be glad to, and they were excited about it. And so I was excited to have them, and so I'm honored to have this young man in our house this morning and to have him in our pulpit. He comes to us from Cedartown, Georgia, with Bishop David Huskins, Pastor Neil Hopper, who he knows very well, and Pastor Jack and Christine Williams, and he's going to come share his heart with us this morning. Will you welcome Benjamin Hopper?
Thank you, thank you. I'd first like to thank y'all for just having me at this, like everyone else has said, and it's so true, this camp has really changed my life. And second of all, how do you compete with the new favorite preacher? Like, there's none. But I'm just going to jump right into it and try and do my best with what I can do. Help me, God. All right. I'm just going to get into it. I have a scripture for y'all, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I want to start with this because I'm going to talk about faith and unbelieving and fear and how you can't let that in your life. So I want to tell y'all a story. Because one day, me and Pastor Neil, we were riding down the road, right? And so we were driving, we had stopped at a red light, and we looked over, and we saw a guy in the car, and he was wearing sunglasses. But it wasn't like a day where you needed sunglasses. It was like cloudy and raining and stuff. But, you know, we started, really, I feel bad, we were kind of making fun of him, yeah, but, like, I thought about it, and I was like, I can make a sermon out of this. This is profound. Because we didn't see what he saw. We didn't see, it doesn't mean that he didn't need the sunglasses, it's that we didn't see what he could see. It's the same way with faith. Through faith, you can't see what I see. And, you know, it really shocked me when I thought about it. I was like, you know, we make fun, but there might be a reason. You know, there might be something there. And you know, faith, it allows us to partake of the things of God, and it, you know, it allows us to do what he wants us to do and access the things that have been locked. Because sometimes I feel like God's promises, and when he talks to us, it's like a door. And your faith has to unlock that door. And because, you know, with faith, you can't see what I see. Without faith, you couldn't even see that door that's there that God made with your promises. You know, like, gosh. It did the same thing for Abraham. That was my first example. Abraham, his promise, his door, so to speak, was for him that he would be the father of many nations. But it didn't just start being the father of many nations. It started, his door of promise was a baby. He was supposed to have a baby. And if Abraham wouldn't have faith, it wouldn't have happened. Because I'll take you to Romans chapter 4. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Romans 4:20. And the first time I read this, I thought that Abraham's praise to God was giving him glory, you know. If y'all follow my dad, like I think it's on Facebook, he did a thing not too long ago about glory. It's not glory, especially in the South, it's not glory, it's glory. Y'all have to understand that first. But after I really looked into it, I found out that, you know, it wasn't really his glory that gave, or his praise that gave God the glory, it was his faith. His faith, walking in faith, gave God glory. Because if he wouldn't have believed, it's really like a slap in the face to God. If he wouldn't have believed that he could have a son, and he would have believed his promise, you know, that's like the biggest slap in the face to God. And, you know, his promise with Abraham was, you know, the worst thing he could have done was not believe it. You know, that's and a lot of people, it's kind of hard for a lot of people to understand, but like unbelieving is almost like a sin. Unbelieving is, well, Pastor Francis Frangipane, I'm going to use a quote he said. He said, "Unbelief is perhaps the most widespread sin tolerated by Christians today." Unbelief is perhaps the most widespread sin tolerated by Christians today. Y'all give me a second. I'm gonna relate it to Lion King. So, my next verse I'm going to use back in Hebrews 3:12. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." And my next note just says, "Believe in him." You know, if God tells you something, he's not lying. He's God. Believe. Man, you cannot have unbelief. And so the Amplified Version even says that, "Therefore, beware, beware, brethren, take care, lest be in any one of you a wicked, unbelieving heart." It's put together, wicked and unbelieving. It's a cardinal sin. You cannot unbelieve. You can't have unbelief, and you can't have fear. And I'm going to relate it to the Lion King, I promise. I love the Lion King. So, you know, Simba had his promise too, just as Abraham did. So, it's not okay. Simba, he had faith that he would be king. You know, "I'm gonna be a mighty king, so enemies beware." He had faith. That was his promise. No matter what, you know, he's gonna be the king. You said it last night. You said, you know, even if it wasn't that his, what was it that is? Yeah, it wasn't that made him the king. It was that he was the son of God, or the son of the king, that made him the king. He was going to be a king no matter what happened. Even if he did cause the death of Mufasa, he was still going to be the king. So, you know, but he didn't put his faith in his promise. He put his faith in what Scar said, so he didn't believe his promise. Scar told him that he couldn't be king anymore because of what he did, so he took his faith and put it in Scar so he no longer could be the king. And if he would have stayed, his promise would have been fulfilled. You know, if he would have stayed in the Pride Lands, nothing would have happened. People would have found out what happened. You know, the Lion King would have been different, but great movie still. The truth was, he was born for it. And you just have to keep with your promise, and you cannot have that unbelief. You have to be sure of yourself in the promises that God gives you, and you have to have faith. The other obstacle with faith, beside unbelief, is fear. And I have I think it's called an acronym with fear. It's false evidence appearing real. And I think that's a Neil Hopper thing, but, you know, I'm using it. And I'm going to go back to Matthew 8:25-26. "And his disciples came to him and awoke, saying, 'Lord, save us, we perish.' And he saith unto them, 'Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?' Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." And right there, and it's a bunch in the Bible, like if any of you have like a Bible app on your phone, if you ever search like little faith, it's always put with fear. It's countless times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. If you look in the Bible, little faith is put with fear. So you can't have fear. Fear is related with the lack of faith. And when the disciples let unbelief and fear overtake them, their faith is challenged. All right. And so if you keep going in Matthew around chapter 14, he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid. And he began to sink. He cried again, saying, Lord, save me. And he immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherest did thou doubt? And here again, it's just another example I was trying to use. You can't let your fear get in the way of your faith. You can't let your unbelief get in the way of your faith. No matter what you do, you have to believe in the promises of God. And that was really all I was trying to tell you, is, you know, all you need is just a little bit of faith, and you can unlock the doors of promise and share the things of God.
Amen. Great job, Benjamin. Amen. Wow. Just awesome. Awesome stuff. Amen. I want to thank them all for their heart and their giving. That was wonderful. Now, I'm sure it's not going to be their last time. Amen. Hallelujah. Coming to share with you, we have one more person who's going to come to share with you this morning, and she has something that she felt like the Lord had laid on her heart this week, and they bailed on us last year, and we haven't forgiven them since then, but they're back, and they're it's always great to have them with us here at camp and as a part of us and their family, and so I'm delighted this morning to have Susan Crew from In Life in Christ Worship Center out of Dallas, Georgia.
Amen. Well, that's a tough act to follow. Man, I thought the magician was going to be bad, but Gabe and Ben, rock it out. Amen. I want to honor my pastor, my husband, Alan, this morning. Yay. He's like the biggest kid here, I promise. And I want to tell all you guys, thank y'all for coming and spending your week with me this week. I drive a school bus, so I'm around kids all the time. I'm probably the craziest person because I turn my back on all y'all. You know, there's no telling what everybody's doing behind me. But my heart is for kids. I've been in ministry for probably about 22 years, and I just love you guys. Y'all are treasures to me, absolute treasures. There are so many treasures in this house this morning that I was sitting over there thinking, my personal treasures, my girls, my oldest one is married now, been married a year now, and I figure probably within the next couple of years, I'll probably be a grandmother. And I got to thinking, my grandkids are in good hands, because they're going to come to this camp. And these guys are going to be the ones ministering at night and doing what Bishop done last night and what Justin will do tonight and what Dan done the other night and what Roger done and what Jim done. These guys and girls and our kids, our future is in very good hands, and I thank y'all for that. And I wasn't nervous till I got up here. Now I'm kind of jittery a little bit. I think Colleen gave it to me, the little shaking. And I'm not really nervous, but I had it on my heart. What Bishop done last night about the scars has been on my heart a lot. And, you know, we tend to sometimes focus on those things more than we do our purpose and a finished work and what God's done in our lives. And there's consequences for it. You know, Scar was a king's kid. Scar was a king's kid, and because of his unbelief and his unfaithfulness and because of his relationships and because of the way he molded things in his life and the way he chose to think and the decisions he made, he became the leader of the dark lands, you know? And I want you guys to know you have a choice this morning, because I promise you everybody in here has either had scars or bad things happen to them. I mean, sometimes it's, you know, it don't create a scar. It's just something bad. You didn't like it. You know, somebody picks on you at school, or, you know, somebody's always trying to put you down to make themselves feel better. Or maybe you're the person putting somebody down, trying to make yourself feel better. You know? And I just want to be real with y'all this morning, because I don't want you to end up where Scar ended up. I want you to end up a king's kid who knows they're a king's kid. And in the scriptures, it talks about that man of perdition needs to be revealed so he can be removed. And you come to a place like this, and we, as your leaders, we see things in you that need to be removed. And you have a choice today to go home and make the same decisions and the same mistakes and think the same way and get up and do the same things. Or you can allow your scars to be dealt with and you can move on past them. I promise you, Gabe has moved past his scars to stand up here. I bet Ben has had scars in his life. I bet he hasn't gone unscathed. He's a preacher's kid. Of course he's got scars. Amen. You know, Isaac, Cheyenne, all of us have had scars. Was it Kristen that got up? Kirsten? Yes. Skittles. I should have said Skittles. She'd have known. You've had scars, haven't you, Christian? Yes. We've all had scars. And I'm going to reveal one of my scars to you guys today, because I want you to know that you have a choice to either have dominion over your scars and over your life, or to allow your scars to rule and reign with you. When I was 10 years old, I have a huge family. My mother was one of nine. And we had tons of cousins and cousins' cousins and cousins' friends and uncles and aunts, and, you know, we had it all. And we were, you know, we all got together all the time. And so on Father's Day, when I was 10 years old, we were at my aunt's house, and we were all playing hide-and-seek. You know, a couple of the adults would go with us, all of us kids, and, I mean, there's like 30 or 40 of us kids, okay? There's a bunch of us. And so, make a long story short, I was molested on Father's Day by my uncle when I was 10 years old. And that was a scar to me. And, but I got through that by the Lord and through my husband. You know, he helped to heal those scars. God sent me. I was taken from that man's side, and I waited till I found him. And then God healed me, okay? And I am not a victim. Anybody in here who's had bad things happen to them, the enemy wants you to think you're a victim. And you are not a victim. You're victorious. You're a king's kid. You do not have to let the things that have happened to you or the labels that people have put on you dictate your life. You do not have to use them as a crutch to get attention. You do not have to use them to put other people down or to make yourself feel important or to... I'm telling you guys, Scar was the one who felt pity and sorry for himself. And if you continue in that behavior, constantly feeling sorry for yourself, constantly feeling like, you know, I don't get the attention that I would like, so I think I'll do this, or I may, you know, I'm going to have to cry a little bit and come up with a sob story. And I don't mean to be mean this morning. I just want to be straight with you guys, because I love you and there's treasure in you, and I want to pull it out this morning. If you are used to trying to get attention from using your sob stories, that will not bring purpose out of you, not God's purpose. God's purpose will come when you say, I cast down those thoughts and imaginations of unworth. I cast down those thoughts and imaginations that I'm not good enough, or that I'm not man enough, or that I'm not woman enough, because you are. You're a king's kid. We all have to grow. I didn't get where I'm at as a pastor and as a good mom and as a good wife overnight. It took me years to get here. It took me years to let go of my scars. I eventually ended up having to go back to my uncle. The first thing I had to do was I had to forgive myself. And as a 10-year-old, it was not my fault. Absolutely not my fault. But there were thoughts there. In fact, in the midst of the thing that happened to me, while he was holding a knife, he told me, you know, that I couldn't tell anybody, I couldn't say anything about it, I wasn't supposed to talk about it, you know. And then he told me that it would just be our little secret, and he knew I enjoyed it. You know, those are tough things for a 10-year-old to process. I mean, thankfully I had parents, though, who had always talked to us, you know, and they had an open door policy. We could come with them with anything. And so a couple of weeks after it happened, they pulled us in the living room, me and my sister. They sat us down. They're like, all right, girls, we want to talk. It's time to have a talk, you know. And it opened the door for that, and I was able to tell them. I got it out. But I had to forgive myself, and then eventually I had to forgive him. Because he was in my life for the rest of my life. He passed on now, but he was in my life for a long time. And I did get to a point to where I could forgive him. Somebody brought up something last night, though, about forgetting. I never forgot it. I didn't use it, and I didn't allow the enemy to use it. I didn't fall back and get in a pity party, oh, that happened to me. But I'll tell you one thing, I would never let it happen to her. God used that, and I protected my girls and all the girls around me. Every girl that my girls brought to me, I protected. It wasn't happening. I could spot you a mile away. God used that, and I know all things work together, and I want you guys to know that. Everything that has happened in your life has happened to progress you on this grace trip, okay? And God uses that for his glory and to grow you up into the kind of people that will be effective administrators of the kingdom, that will teach my grandbabies when they come here who they are in Christ, you know? And so I want you to remember as you go home and you're thinking, you fall back into those same patterns of feeling sorry for yourself or getting in your room and you get all these bad thoughts coming in your head and it's what you always done and it's never produced his purpose in your life. So change it. If you know now, I've called you out on it. I have said, quit feeling sorry for yourself. Quit using it as a crutch. Deal with your scars. Let them go. We let those go last night. We're not picking them back up. But if you go back home and you start using that as a crutch again and you want to get attention and you start sowing lies and deceit into your life and into the lives of others, quit being mean girls. Just quit. Quit being mean guys. Quit trying to make everybody else feel like they're not as good as you because you're bigger and you're taller and you're more muscular and you're more athletic. They're beautiful, wonderful people in the Lord. They are his creation. Quit putting them down. Okay? Now that we've called you out on it and it's out in the open, it needs to be removed. If you don't allow it to be removed, then you're making Scar's choice. You're choosing to walk like Scar walked. You won't stand up here ever in victory. You won't minister to my grandbabies. Okay? If you want to aspire to be a king's kid, then let God remove those things out of your life. And there's a scripture. A couple of years ago, we had in Bible study here a girl who... she didn't really talk about it, but she had met a guy, and they had been dating for a while, and he talked her into going all the way, and she did. And when she did, he broke up with her, and she was just devastated. And so she's thinking, I've ruined it. I gave the most precious thing in the world away, and I can't ever get that back. And we told her, sure you can. You're a new creature in Christ every day. God said that if you be in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Ben, how long you been saved? 14 or 15 years. Is there any old in there? It's all new, isn't it? So in 14 or 15 years, nothing's gotten old. Now that's magic to me. You know, isn't that magic? That's the way God is. Dan had what was he doing? Huh? Yeah, illustration. He had an illustration up here the other night where you were going to do a grace walk, and you were going to start on this side, and you were going across, and you're doing this grace walk, and you start as a new creature in Christ. And nowhere on the journey do you get old. The whole journey is new. You're always going to be a new creature. Every single day you get up, you are a new creature in Christ. Every single day. So she goes home, and she believed that. She held on to that. I'm a new creature. I don't have to go and do that behavior again because it's already been done. I can save myself, and it can be special. And I want all of you to know this morning, you are new creatures in Christ. This is a new day. This is a new beginning. You're going to go home, and you're going to remember you're a king's kid. And you're not going to fall back on the things that you've always fell back on. You're not going to feel sorry for yourself. You're not going to be a victim. You're not going to be mean and hateful. You are going to sow good things into your life. You're going to understand that there's righteousness in you, and it's going to pull righteousness from others. You're going to walk in His kingdom every day, and your deep is going to call to the deep. And you guys are going to be successful. Okay? And so, if you get up Monday morning and you're, you know, back kind of, you know, we get fired up at camp and it's so good and it's so wonderful. And we go home to our churches and we show them all we learned and we lay hands on everybody and we pray over everybody and we tell them we got filled with the Spirit or we got set free or we got saved or, you know, whatever happens. And then about a month later, you're getting ready for school to start again, and, you know, you're feeling the pressures, or maybe you're going off to college, and it's a whole new life out there, and, you know, don't go back to the same things. Remember who you are. Look harder. Get you an app on your phone. Look up words every day. Figure out a new word to look up and just search the Scriptures, you know? And I guarantee you, God will lead you where He wants you. I'm telling y'all, though, it's been revealed. Everybody in here under the sound of my voice, God revealed some stuff to you this morning. Now you have a choice whether or not you're going to allow Him to remove it. You're going to learn from it, or are you going to run from it? Amen. I love you guys.
Amen. Hallelujah. Good stuff, eh?